Hey guys, thanks for joining us online. It is fantastic to have you with us, and we're all in this together. I'm glad that you've carved out this time in your schedule, so wherever you are, at work, in your living room, in a car someplace, thanks for joining us. We are all in this together, but I will be the first to admit that I can't wait until we all get back together. In fact, somebody sent me that this week, this is what I'm going to look like the first weekend we are all back together. Check it out. Guys, that will totally be me, and I may even do a cartwheel. So get ready for it, because one of these, very soon, we pray, we're going to be back together. But in the meantime, the question is, now what? Okay, so we've been in this a few weeks with the coronavirus outbreak. Now what? And nobody seems to know exactly. Somebody said, I asked a six-year-old if he understands why there is no school. And he said, yes, it's because there's no toilet paper. Yeah, it's probably partially true. You know, guys, we're making all sorts of adjustments. Brandon, Early, and I, we got together for our staff meeting, and this is how we're doing staff meeting this week, so it's crazy. Pretty strange world we're in, aren't we? But now what? That's a great question. Now what? And today, I just want to deal with that. What comes next? What are our next steps? What are we to think? And I want to give you today six things that will transform everything. If we seek these six things, even though we don't know the future, if we seek these six things, it will transform everything that we are doing. Last weekend, we looked at some incredible miracles of Jesus and the power and the sovereignty that he has in our lives. But today, I want to take you back to some of the words of Jesus. A few little verses in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven. So let's just stop there for a moment. This is how you should pray. It's not the words you should pray, like say these words exactly, although we can. But he's saying, this is the sort of things you want to pray for. This is how you should pray. And he says, when you approach God, say, our Father in heaven. So remember, he's your Father. This is your Father who loves you, who cares about you. You're his child. If you've come to faith in Jesus, you know you have this relationship with God as your Father, the best Father. So you're not crawling on your knees begging. You're running into your daddy's lap. In fact, the word here is very intimate and personal. It was very uncommon in the first century for Jewish people to use this kind of address. But Jesus says, this is how you need to pray. Our Father, Daddy, Papa. Run up into his lap, and then he says, I'm going to give you these six things to pray. Now, these six things that we're going to get to, they're kind of like wedding vows. And what I mean by that, guys, is, if you've ever been at a wedding or you've gotten married, the pastor up front doesn't say, okay, just repeat these words. He doesn't just say, repeat after me, and then you robotically repeat, and it doesn't mean anything. No, he's saying, these are your vows. These are important. These are the foundation of everything. And so the words of your vows represent the passion of your heart. So Jesus is going to give us these six things to ask God for. Not that these are the only things we can ask God for, but these are the very most important things. These are the very best things to ask him for. It's like when you go to a restaurant. And you've never been there, and somebody else you know, your friend's been there, and say, what do you order there at that restaurant? What do you ask for at that restaurant? And they say, you gotta order the steak, or you gotta order the shrimp, or the tacos, or the chocolate mountain lava cake. These are the best things you wanna ask for. And Jesus has given us that menu of the very best things to ask him for. And if we ask for these six things on a daily, regular basis and make them the passion of their hearts, it will transform everything. It will transform first your own perspective, the way you look at this whole coronavirus and the chaos around us. It's going to transform your perspective of how you view it. You will not be the same. Secondly, it's going to transform your life, because God's going to hear those prayers and God's going to answer our prayers. And I want you to imagine for a moment, imagine what would happen if God actually answered these prayers. What would happen in your life, in my life, in our church, in our community, in our world, if God actually answered the prayers of his people, which he promises to do? Things would be different, and things would be better in your life and mine and our community. Now, bear in mind that God does not usually answer in gigantic, miraculous ways. Very seldom does the Red Sea part. Those are why they're in the Bible, because they're miraculous, amazing things. But in our lives, oftentimes God answered these prayers in small ways, in little vector changes, in little attitude changes, in little incidents that happen in our lives, in little ways that we can change the way we treat people, in little opportunities, in little provisions that God gives to us, little moments that God gives to us that gradually change our lives and transforms everything. So this is not a long prayer. In fact, I counted it up in the original language. It's only 56 words. That's really short, guys. But these six requests, these 56 words, think of them as prayer hacks that you can begin to pursue. These six things that become the new and true agenda for your life. Things you can pursue, and it will change things. So let's go back to this prayer. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. We go to God as our Father. He cares about us. And we say, our Father, may your name be honored as holy. Here's the first thing that we can begin to ask God for that will transform everything. We ask for God, our Father, to be honored as first place in everything in our lives. First place. First, let's talk about this. He says, our name, hallowed be your name, or may your name be honored as holy. What does he mean, your name? Your name in Scripture represents God's reputation, his character, everything that God stands for. May everything that God stands for, that our Father is about, may that be the thing that transforms our lives. May your name be honored as holy, hallowed. What is hallowed? It means to be treated and known as special, as the most important, as the greatest and most revered, as the significant name, the excellent name of God, the greatest name there is, the best of all, the most admired, the most loved and sought after name. First place in everything. Well, guys, you've probably been following this in the news. The Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics 2020 have been pushed back a full year to 2021. And it got me thinking of the hallowed names of the Olympics, names that are honored as really important. And the first person that came to mind was Michael Phelps. I mean, Michael Phelps is amazing. And in the Olympics as a swimmer, in swimming circles, he is a hallowed name. He has 23 gold medals. 23! He's first place in everything in swimming. And what Jesus is saying here, this first thing, is says, give God gold medals in everything in your life. May he be first place in everything in your life. You know, somebody has said God is present in all Christians. He is prominent in many Christians, but he's preeminent in some Christians. And he says, I want you to move toward that, not just present, God's with you, but he's not just prominent, he's important to you, but he's preeminent. He's first place in your life, in everything. So this means he's first place in my day. God, when you say, hallowed be your name, you're saying, God, you are how I begin my day. You say, in my attitude, God, I want you to be first in my attitude, in my goals. Help me to set goals with you as preeminent, first place. In my job, I want you to be first place in how I treat people and how I do my work. I want you to be first place in my perspective. God, show me how to live my life for you. First place in my abilities, the use of my gifts and talents. First place in my money and my resources. First place. First fruits. You provide this for me, Lord. I want to honor you as holy by giving those first fruits to you, because everything I have that's good comes from you in the first place. I want you to be first place in my treatment of others. How would Jesus treat this person? First place in my words. God's grace comes first. My opinions come second. First place in my thoughts. God, guide me in everything I do today. First place in my fears and worries. I'm going to trust you, God, and put you first and trust that you're going to take care of me. First place in my frustrations. God in first place, not my preferences. God deserves first place. And so this first prayer is just to say, God, you deserve all the gold medals and everything in my life. Imagine a church. Imagine a family. Imagine a friendship where everybody gives our Father first place in everything. Where it wasn't about me or my agenda first or my wishes or my perspective, but where God was first place in everything. Our Father, hallowed be your name. May your name be honored as holy. Where God's name and all he stands for was the guiding principle of every word, of every thought, of every action, of every decision, it transforms everything. Okay, second one. Let's go to this. Second thing that could transform everything is Jesus goes on to pray. Your kingdom come. So he's praying now. The second thing, we're asking our Father to fully reign in all his goodness and all his greatness. We're asking here to become a part of Jesus' victory movement. Now, Jesus, when he took on human flesh in the incarnation at Christmas, already he broke into human history. His kingdom was coming there. And then Jesus did miracles and did amazing things and taught the kingdom. And his kingdom, the reign of God, the goodness and greatness of God became far more apparent. And then it goes on because Jesus then goes to a cross for our sake. And his kingdom comes when all of our sin is laid upon him. And then his kingdom roars back with power and strength as he is raised from the dead in this glorious resurrection, which we'll celebrate in just a couple of weeks. That's his kingdom has already come. But he says, keep praying for that. Your kingdom come. Jesus already broken into human history, but now he says, keep that kingdom coming. And so what's this like? It's like, you remember, if you think of a scene in a movie when the army shows up just in the nick of time, or it looks really bad or bleak, and then the superhero arrive, or like in Star Wars and the rise of Skywalker, when all the ships arrive and come to the rescue, all the galaxy fleet arrives. It's amazing. And it's going to be okay. And that's what we're asking God to do. We're asking God, your kingdom come. Come in your reign and come in your power. God, break in and reign powerfully in my heart and in other hearts and lives. In the midst of this coronavirus and all the chaos of our culture and our community, bring transformation, change lives, change hearts. Work mightily as king because you're the king. Your kingdom come. We need you to show up. We need you to show up. This past week, a friend of mine, Daniel Wentworth, many of you know him. He's now a pastor in Chicago, but he was on our staff for a decade. His son is actually a part of our staff now as well. And his wife, Ruth, wrote a beautiful prayer, your kingdom come. I just want to share it with you. And I hope you'll pray it yourself. Father, today I pray your kingdom come, your will be done. I pray for our president, our vice president, the COVID-19 task force, and other leaders as they navigate us through this unknown COVID-19. I lift up the needy, the poor, the homeless, the hopeless, and those currently out of work or without pay. For business owners who have had to close and are generating no income, or they're worried. I pray for healthcare professionals at ground zero staring this virus in the face. I pray for clerks and cashiers and truckers, police and firefighters, working diligently to keep the essentials going. We pray for their protection. We pray for healing for those who have tested positive with this virus. We pray for families that will be strengthened during this time of togetherness. I pray for those without family that they will not feel isolated or alone. Father, we ask for your kingdom to come in all the above. And may the church rise up and your spirit be evident to all. Amen. It's a great kingdom come prayer. Then he goes on. This can change everything. This is the third thing to pray for. Let's pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here it is. Here's the third thing that can transform everything. Now what? Our Father, advance your best plans for us. Advance your best plans for us. So Scripture has laid out for us all the plans of God that he wants to reveal to us, all his desires, his will for us. And we read the Scriptures and we say, yeah, Lord, this is what we want. We want your goodness, your greatness, your justice, your truth to be evident in my life first and then in a bunch of other people's lives. Yes, God, I read that in your Scriptures. That's your will. Do that, would you, Lord? And show me how you want me to do it. Start with me and go from there. Your way is always the best. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does he mean by that? Well, you know what, guys? Today, it's a great day in heaven. There's no chaos. There's no craziness. There's no sickness. There's no disease. People are celebrating. There's praise and thanksgiving to God. There's joy. There's laughter. There's love. There's kindness. There's hope. There's complete healing and wholeness. It's a great day in heaven. And what Jesus asks us to ask our Father to do is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is so much tragedy and so much brokenness and so much fallenness that our enemy, Satan, our adversary, and the fall of humanity and the sinfulness of humanity and the fallenness of nature has brought about all that tragedy and brokenness and fallenness. He's saying, pray, reverse that, God. Your will be done. And help us to be able to be the ones to step into that and to make a difference. Where we can alleviate pain and suffering and heartache little by little until finally, Lord, your kingdom comes and Jesus returns and your will is fully done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's a good day to give thanks. To God. Somebody wrote this, and I want to share it with you. It's just a reminder of how we so easily, even in these days, take things for granted. This woman wrote these words. She says, when this is all over, may we never take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversations with neighbors, a crowded theater, a Friday night out, the taste of community, a routine checkup, a school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, a stadium roaring, each deep breath, a boring Tuesday, life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we always wanted to be, we were called to be, we hope to be, and may we stay that way, better for each other because of the worst we've faced together. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Good words. Fourth thing that can transform everything is this scripture. Give us today our daily bread. Here we ask for God to be our daily provider. Father, daily provide for us our daily bread. Now, I got to be honest. Many of us should not be too worried about our daily bread. We have stuff at home. And in fact, somebody posted this quarantine. They said this about the little Debbie. It's the first day one of quarantine. There she is. And then day 30 of quarantine. Yeah, that's going to be some of us because we got more than our daily bread. I mean, we got plenty. All right. Now, some are worried about how God's going to provide, and this is where you pray this. Give us today our daily bread. He wants us to remember that we trust God a day at a time. We can't necessarily trust God, hey, provide all the food I need from now and through 2023, although some people are attempting to do that by, hitting Walmart and wherever and emptying their shelves. Give us today our daily bread. We realize in times like these that we are not independent, that everything we need is from the hand of God. Rather, we are dependent. And when we pray and ask God, give us today our daily bread, it shows our families, it shows our children that we depend on God, not even our government, not our bank accounts, not our jobs. Ultimately, we depend on God. Give us today our daily bread. And there's more than just food. That bread, that word, give us this, not just thank for God for the bread, but give us our bread. The bread is one word that stands for everything that God provides for us. It's one word to say all of life that I need, I need to pay these bills. I need for this to happen. I need to have wisdom for this. I need to have more patience. Whatever it is I need today, Lord, be my provider. Give us today our daily bread. By the way, kingdom advancement, your kingdom come, give us today our daily bread. It requires faith stretching steps. When we have to ask God for our daily bread, look at examples from Scripture. I'm not talking about you being irresponsible and not planning ahead, but I'm saying put yourself in a position where you ask God for big things, not little things. Ask God for big things so that God has to show up and you'll know that God was the one who is the provider and not just your ingenuity and wisdom. I remember Jesus on one occasion said, you feed these, to his disciples, you feed these 5,000 people. And they're like, what? We could never do that. They had to look to him. They had to see what he would do. And of course, they brought him what little they had, and then he multiplied it and made it amazing. And so what we do is we bring what little we have to God, and then he takes that little bit, and the way we honor him, with the little that we have, and then he multiplies it. We trust him. So what, you know, we've talked about bold faith moves for all this year. Maybe those have been shelved for a little bit, but maybe now you need to pull them back off the shelf and say, what was my daily, my bold faith move for spiritual growth? And what was my bold faith move for spiritual influence? And maybe God is going to have to show up for you to meet that daily or that bold faith move. All right? I want to share with you some exciting things that are happening right now in our church. Our life groups, guys, are still getting together. Check it out here. We have our life groups doing amazing stuff. Here's a group that's just getting together, kind of like the old Brady Bunch or whatever. We're doing that. This is actually in our home. There's the awesome Ruth Steef. There's more that's coming. You know, all sorts of life groups are praying to God and seeking God together. We're just excited about what God's doing there. So these are there's many more life groups. Lots of our life groups have come together. If you haven't come together yet, find out if you need tech help. Send an email to tech at valley.church and we'll give you assistance there. But people are coming together and hundreds of people are coming together. And we hope by this week, this coming week, that all of our life groups will be able to join together. So I just want to encourage you that way, guys. We're not putting this on hold. We need each other more than ever. We're all in this together. Secondly, I want to tell you guys, God's providing our daily bread, and he's using us as Valley Church to love our community. We're all about loving Des Moines, and he's using us to provide through his heart to other people in our community. I want to show you some video of some stuff that's happened in, here at the Valley, through Valley Community Center and through our community bridges, and through incredible volunteer and staff efforts to love our community. Here we see some folks that are just giving meals. We're partnering to with the West Des Moines Community School District to give a couple hundred meals this week to people. We're also, there's a group that is getting together to make masks, face masks, for people that are working in with people who are at risk and health professionals. And that's amazing. Way to go. Keep that going. There's going to be more opportunities like that to come. Also, as many of you know, we have a partnership with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Quick Trip to provide meals every single day. 7 days a week, we have anywhere from 3,000 to 9,000 items a month, serving hundreds of items every single day. That's amazing, guys. We're not slowing down with that, and volunteers are getting that done. So that's still happening. And guys, the Global Greens farmers are just about ready to get started with their farming. And so we're going to be able to come alongside them and assist them in that. So look for that opportunity to come and many more. Check out valley.church or also the Valley Community Center website. And I want to just take a moment, if I could, specifically on giving. Guys, I want to just thank you for so many of you who, even through the chaos of the last few weeks, you have continued to faithfully be generous and sacrificial to the ministry of Valley Church. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. It does make a difference. Our needs continue. And so your giving and your generosity makes a huge impact. God bless you. I know he's going to continue to do that as you show your faithfulness in that. But from the bottom of my heart, thank you. So, guys, we're going to have opportunities to serve those in need, to meet together for prayer and the word. We're doing that at noon online every day on Facebook, to share our faith, to give God our first fruits. These are ways that we depend on God. And God shows up. Let's go on to the number five. The fifth thing that we can do and we can ask God for that will transform everything. And God, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Here's the number five, is to make us people of forgiveness. Now, we're in a crisis situation right now, guys. And there's confinement and uncertainty and health concerns and sanitizing everything and washing your hands constantly. And, you know, it can get really stressful. And when we get stressed, we do crazy stuff. We're hoarding toilet paper. We're buying enough food for a year or two. Guys, it's getting crazy. In fact, I had somebody actually break into my garage and actually steal my Limbo game. I mean, guys, how low can you go, right? Ha ha. All right. During this coronavirus outbreak and our home confinements, we've all had our moments of temporary insanity, people driving us crazy. And sometimes we don't act our best, and we need to seek God's forgiveness. We get angry with a family member. We give into lust online. We become arrogant know-it-alls. We become selfish hoarders. We get sharp with our words. We hurt other people. We pray to God, forgive us our debts. We're indebted to God for his grace, and we ask God, first and foremost, through the cross of Jesus. If you've never come to the cross of Jesus and say, God, I need your forgiveness for my life, you can do that today. You can say, God, please forgive me. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, please forgive me. But then secondly, you can pray on a daily basis. Yes, we have that once for all forgiveness through Christ, but we also want to go to God for that fatherly daily forgiveness where the accounts are there. We confess our sins freely to God. We should do this on a daily basis and just say, God, forgive us. Forgive me for this or for that. Whatever it is, just make that a daily process. And then he goes on to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And what does he mean by that? He means that God, we need to forgive other people, or we wall ourselves off from the forgiveness of God himself. Here's what I mean. Imagine that your life got restricted to like only a few rooms as you could move around it. I know it's hard to imagine these days, but imagine that that was the case. And imagine one of those rooms was the room of forgiveness. It's the room where forgiveness reigns and prevails and where it's freely given and people forgive each other and you can be forgiven. Imagine, though, that you wall that off and you never go in that room to forgive anybody else. Imagine you never go into that room and say, I forgive you for the hurt you did me. Not lessening it or condoning the hurt, but imagine you never go into that room to forgive people. What Jesus is saying is, if you never go into that room, that's the room where you get forgiveness too. So make sure you're going into that room often, because that's where you're going to experience forgiveness. Forgive others and experience God's forgiveness. And then the last one, number six, thing that will transform everything, ask our Father, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We ask God here to be our life leader. Lead my life, God. He begins by saying, lead us not into temptation, which is a negative way of saying a positive. Sometimes we do this. We say, don't let me down. And what we mean by that is, be there for me. And so when we say to God, bring us not into temptation, lead us not into temptation, what we mean is, God, protect me from evil. Protect me from going down that path. And deliver us from the evil one or from evil. Either one is possible. Probably is both. Deliver us from evil. When you commit yourself, guys, to kingdom living, when you commit yourself to your will be done, Satan has there's a big target on your chest now, and he has his aim out for you. He wants to take you out through temptation, through whatever is your weakest point. And so what we're praying to God is, God, help me to stay far from that. Deliver me from evil. I can't deliver myself. I need your power and your strength to resist temptation. And instead of going down an evil path, to go down the path of goodness and holiness and righteousness, and your will be done. That's what I'm going to need you to show up in my life, God. So guys, you've perhaps this past few weeks, you've been pelted, put down, insulted, tempted, discouraged, fearful, frustrated, worried, overworked, sick, financially strapped, personally upset, whatever it might be. Take this prayer to your Father and pray those six things. Make them not words to say, but make them the agenda for the day. Our Father, you're in heaven, you're powerful, you're amazing, you're strong, you're my Father. And then you go into the prayer of those six things. I encourage you to do that, guys, and it's gonna transform everything. Make those the topics you pray about, those six topics, and you can pray as often as you want to. We're gonna make available to you online, guys, a Lord's Prayer graphic, and it's really well done. And you can just go to valley.church/Lord's Prayer, and you can download this one-page graphic of the entire Lord's Prayer. And I'd encourage you to put that on your fridge, put that on your computer screen. You're there a lot. And just keep that in front of you. It's the Lord's Prayer. And just on a regular basis, look to that and pray that. Maybe you put it in the center and pray it during meals. Many of you know this prayer already, but it's just a reminder. So I encourage you, go online and print it off and make it very prominent. Every room of your house, if you have to, whatever, just make it very prominent. And I want to encourage you, at least once a day from now through Easter, to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer as a reminder. I would encourage you, if you have friends that you do this with or your family, come together at a meal or whenever, maybe right when this message is done, and pray together the Lord's Prayer. Also, I want to give you a few discussion questions. These are for your life group. They will also be online on our YouVersion app. So download the YOUVersion, all one word, app, and you can see these discussion questions. I'm not going to hit all of these right now, but just to look at them, which of the six requests encourages you the most or stretches you the most? Why could using this prayer as a daily agenda transform your life? What specifically about this prayer helps you to overcome fear? And what, imagine a world where God began to answer those prayers. What would it look like and how would that encourage you? So take those discussion questions, talk about them amongst your family, your friends, your life group as they meet this week. I think it could be very transforming. So guys, I want to close with this. You know, growing up in church, my parents took me to church. And from the earliest age, as a little baby, here I am, you know, I was taken to church. And they kept taking me to church. And then I became this little boy. And here I am in elementary school. And you know what? I learned at both church and at my school, Our Lady of Greenwood School, I learned of scripture. You want to know what the first scripture verse I learned was? What the first scripture passage I memorized was? It wasn't John 3:16. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was the Lord's Prayer. It was the Lord's Prayer. And guys, it's been my lifelong prayer. It's been my daily prayer. And I hope it will become your lifelong prayer and your daily prayer. And today I want to do something unusual. Wherever you are, could you, if you're with other people, could you just get together? And together I want to lead our church in the Lord's Prayer together. Say it with me. And we're going to use the debts and debtors version, okay? But let's go to our Father and seek Him together. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic week. Can't wait to connect more.